Are you ready to actually get serious about growing your business? Well, if you are, I have a very exciting announcement. I have opened thegrowthvault.com. It's totally free. And there's trainings, webinars, teachings, workshops, interviews, documents, all kinds of stuff just waiting for you to help and assist you grow your business. Everything we talk about here on the Quick Talk Podcast has to be put into action. So if you're ready to really dig in, go to thegrowthvault.com and take a look.
Hey guys, welcome to the Quick Talk Podcast, the only show handcrafted for small business entrepreneurs looking to explode their business. It's time to get your mind right so you can get your grind right. Are you ready?
Hey everybody, thank you for joining me here on the Quick Talk Podcast. We are rolling. I've had tons of new episodes out lately because this is one of the funnest things I do. And today, I have a friend of mine, Ryan Kettering, on the line, and we're just going to have a casual, fun conversation about tons of different business stuff. And Ryan, you know, he used to own a carpet cleaning business, but now he's the founder of Prolific Prints, and they specialize in branding and design for direct mail pieces. I mean, when I say design, this is very high level, super professional, beautiful. I mean, very talented people. So if you're one of those companies that has a junky little, you know, flyer and everything's black and white and your logo's ugly and you don't know how to design a postcard, Ryan's one of those guys that can make you look like a $2 million company, even though you might be a $2,000 company. But anyway, Ryan, it's a Sunday when we're recording this. Thanks for taking some time out of your day. How are you?
Absolutely good. Thanks for that introduction there, Josh. Appreciate it.
Hey, no problem. I really like you. I like your design skills, man. Your material speaks for itself, really. And I'm one of those like nerd in trainings where I know how to use lots of different software, but I'm not super deep with it. You know, I can grab Photoshop and remove a background and make a, you know, a ping image. But you guys have an eye to really make things look incredible.
Right. And what a lot of business owners forget too is we do it efficiently for them, you know, and obviously it costs, you know, money. But as we grow, as we've been able to grow with companies, one of the main things that keeps people using us once they get to a, you know, a certain level where we have done different stuff for them, and you know, is that now they realize, well, I could still have, you know, maybe I have an assistant here where they can, you know, tinker around with this stuff all day, but we've been able to show that, you know, we're efficient at what we do. We're good at what we do. So they hire it to us because it allows them to get that off their plates because that's what we specialize in, you know? So, I think, you know, we really enjoy just helping people be more of them. And not to correct you on your own show, but you said like a $2 million company. I think it's more of like in line with a company, you know, we try to make you look like a company that you are, but with a $2 million budget, maybe. Like,
Yeah. That makes sense. I mean, everybody's different, right? So you want to really bring out who each of your clients are in their own unique way. I mean, create their own style. And that's a good way to put it. So, you know, I notice, because I work with a lot of small businesses from all over the country, actually a lot in Canada, a couple in Australia. And what I notice is that when you have a small company, maybe with less than 5 employees, the owners spend way too much time doing tons of things that they're really bad at. And design is definitely one of them, because a lot of these guys update their own website, they do their own graphic stuff, and like I can slow clap for them like for doing it, because I did that too. But the next level is to build a team around you. And sometimes building a team means you contract with someone who's amazing at something. They do it quicker, more efficiently, and the end result's better. Isn't that important?
Yes, and it's usually, you know, not too difficult for me to explain that to my customers, because essentially what my customers being, you know, in-home service professionals like, you know, carpet cleaners, pressure washers, window cleaners, essentially what their job is to be efficient at what they're doing, so that, you know, if they're working for a company, obviously that company could hire a janitorial staff, right? But the idea is that they can do it with an expertise level and with an efficiency level that that company can't do it. So it makes it so they're the cheaper option, you know, and that's why for a company to add me to their team is usually a better option than them trying to, you know, hire a full or part-time position for something like that. So we really do enjoy being part of, you know, the team, so to speak, so that when they have anything that's, you know, related to their brand or marketing, that they'll, you know, come to us and see if we can help with it. So,
well, I think it's important. It's good for consistency. It's good to take stuff off their plate, and the end result is better, because I don't know how you guys design the stuff you do. It's, and do you even do, do you do vehicle wraps too sometimes?
Yeah, we've actually started doing quite a few recently, and a lot. Like, so we had a few posted up, and the word of mouth kind of got around. We've done probably 5 to 10 different wraps in the last month, and before that was like zero. So so it's been something that actually I really enjoy doing now that we've started doing it. So,
well, it's cool when a brand has fluidity. Is that a word? I'm not trying to sound really smart. It just came out of my mouth. But when all their stuff is fluid, it's copacetic, you know, from their business card to their uniforms to, I mean, everything, their vehicle wraps, their literature, their sales and estimate forms, their website. If you can get all that dialed in, which can be a huge project for a little tiny business, it's so good for your business, and it helps you get so much more stickiness in your hometown, and it helps you stick out better. You can demand higher prices. People take you a lot more seriously. And I know that just from personal experience, you know, because our logo at my cleaning business was this giant bird with a broken wing. And the name of my company is Birds Beware Window Cleaning. And it's a weird name. And when I first started, people are like, what? But then, you know, when we had 10 crews driving around with gigantic vinyl birds all over the place, and you know, we're in other forms of marketing, and all of our uniforms say birds hate us, customers love us. Once you stick that into the community for long enough, it really creates a pop for your business, in my experience.
Well, I think that, you know, excuse me, the thing about design and branding is customers don't necessarily like see that, and like they're not, I don't know, it's weird, it's, they don't look at it and say, okay, we have to buy from this person. It's more of like a subtle thing, because, you know, when you go into a Quiznos or a Subway, you don't, you know, it doesn't jump in your face that this company is very well branded, that they've taken a lot of time and laid things out in a certain way. It just feels right. And so it's kind of like the customer just doesn't feel like there's anything wrong, right? But when they see something that's the reverse, where there's a lot wrong, that really puts a customer off and they don't want to work with that company. And so I think it's more of like a subtle thing where, as you say, you know, once you kind of complete that brand, it just feels right for a customer. And it's not necessarily that, you know, that they, it sticks out to them as, oh my goodness, this is, must be the best company ever. It's like, this is a company that's doing things the right way. And so that's why they want to work with, you know what I mean? It's kind of difficult to,
yeah, well,
you
it's, know, it has a little to, bit. It's perceived value, right? It's yeah. Perceived value. It feels better, even though they're not consciously thinking about it. And I talk a lot about that on the show and in all the stuff that I do, because I'm obsessed with creating more perceived value. And the little itty bitty details really do matter. They matter a lot. Not because the one detail matters by itself, but when you do it with 17 different things in your business, the way you answer your phone, the way you engage your customers, how prompt you are about getting pricing to people, how easy is it for them to buy for you, how strong is your branding, how clean, how unique, how all that stuff, when you add it up, you know, I have a blog post called How to Become a Nightmare to Compete With. And it really, it's speaking to this idea, which is how do you dominate on all these little bitty things that people overlook because they're stressed out and busy and they don't have time? If you focus on those, you can crush your local competition. You can be the highest price and get the job every time because the perception you're creating. And it's just true. And there are still people that are price sensitive that are just going to want the cheapest price, but you don't want those customers anyway. So if you set yourself up to attract these people who perceive this and they appreciate and place value on the experience and all the details and how warm and fuzzy everything about your company is, if you find those customers by focusing on the details, how awesome is that? Wouldn't you rather have 1,000 of those customers than beating your head against the wall trying to, you know, lower your price $3? I heard a story from a lawn care guy who lost this is a good friend of mine. He lost a lawn mowing job for 50 cents a cut. Okay. Like, it's hilarious to me. He was like $28 and she's like, sorry, you know, we're going to have to let you go. We have another company. Well, they're doing it for $27.50. And, you know, the way do you avoid that is by having a strong level of perceived value, something that's not easy to replicate for your local competition. And that was a long rant. I'm sorry. I'm just passionate about this stuff.
No, I agree. And the funny thing is that with people that are used to dealing with price sensitive customers, I think they miss the boat on this and they never actually make that invest. Well, not never, but many of them don't, because they don't actually, it's hard to explain to someone like that, because they haven't actually experienced what happens when this is all in place, like you're talking about. The thing is that as I've, you know, branded my, you know, company more, myself more, and helped other people brand more, what I found is that there's not really, you know, I used to talk a lot about price sensitive shoppers because it was a very real thing that I had remembered very well. But the more that I go, that just fades away. And I think that people that are concerned about price shoppers probably aren't doing what we're talking about, because they likely wouldn't have them, like you're saying. And it's not that, you know, that you're this big brand that you can now say, oh, well, you know, you know, have you seen what we've been doing here, or this and that? You know, I can't believe you're even asking me about price. It's more that the customer, it's a shift in your customer's mindset, not necessarily in, you know, in what you have to do to them or anything like that, you know. So they come to you more qualified, right? So you've put this layer where you don't have to deal with it anymore. So it's not like, how do I deal with it? It's, you don't have to anymore.
That you know is what I mean? Super good point. Like, I didn't even think of that, but that is so true, because you're actually filtering your demographical market in your area before they even contact you. Like, the people that are only price sensitive, they're intimidated by the big, clean, powerful, professional brand. They don't want that. They want the hack job guy, and they'll find them, but they're not going to come wasting your time as often, right? Because they're like not going to call that company that they perceive will be expensive. And honestly, that's a really good thing.
Right. And that's kind of coming back to what I was saying, like where things don't jump out to that customer to say, like a customer wouldn't see your a good logo and say, oh my goodness, I can't believe that they laid it out like this and not like that, or they chose blue instead of orange. I love that this is blue and not orange or whatever. But then they see something that's awful and it immediately sticks. Customers, just like many business owners, they don't know graphics. They don't understand why things are put together the way they are or anything like that. They just know when it's wrong, right? And they know when it doesn't feel right. When it feels right, nothing in particular sticking out and really just catching them like, oh my goodness, this is amazing. It's just everything feels right. And so when a customer feels like everything along the way feels like they should be doing business with this company, then when they call, you know, they're already in this mindset that they feel like they should be doing business with you, you know? I think a lot of people, you know, even the stuff that I do for my business, a lot of the stuff that I do, I get really, really excited about. And what I've found is that my customers don't really get as excited as me, but what it does is it's more of a subtle thing. It allows all these other things happen though, to where I know it's working, but my customers still can't really put their finger on it. And it was interesting. I can't remember. I read a post about price shoppers, and it's kind of the same thing with your brand and stuff like that. You can't always look at your customers and say, hey, what do you think about this? Because they just don't think about things in that context to where they're going to be able to pick exactly what spoke to them, or exactly what, you know, they don't know a lot of this stuff, right? And that's why, you know, it's important to have, you know, to basically either know it or hire a company like ours to help you execute on this stuff, to where I've heard Gary Vaynerchuk talk about this quite a bit, is we care about, you know, if our customer hires us, we care about their customer more than their opinion, right? We care about your end customer's opinion more than your opinion. And many times I have to explain that to business owners when we're doing things like branding on a logo or something like that. I have to explain that, you know, I know that you like this, and so do 1,000 other people in your industry, right? But what does your customer think, and how does this, you know, separate you in your customer's eyes? And so really we start with the end consumer when we talk about, you know, branding and how that's going to be portrayed to them. And many times we as business owners are so bombarded with marketing from the, you know, other marketers or the manufacturers or different, you know, trade industry, you know, whatever. And so we're very in line with what works on us, and we think that that's going to work on our customers, and that's not true, right? And that's why where I come in and I try to line things up with what the end customer is going to feel right for them, you know?
Yeah, that's a really good point. And when I had my company in Michigan, I wanted the prospects that we were going to give estimates to, I wanted them to feel like we were going to be that $1,000 company. So when we only were 500, they were pleasantly surprised, because what happens is you have two people that go do a bid. You have the guy who wears a wife beater. His fingers are yellow because he smoked 27 cigarettes that morning, and he rolls up and there's a lot of these guys out there. God bless them all. But what they're not understanding is that they're going to give a bid. And let's say that he's $300 and he's a nice guy. And this guy probably is technically better at cleaning something than the guys that work for me were, okay? Because I never focused on that. I focused on the experience and the perceived value. And you have to be professionally competent, but I never obsessed with that part of it. So he rolls up, he gives his bid, he writes it on the back of a business card, and he leaves. But, you know, this is after he missed their call and then called them back 3 hours later and then showed up to the estimate 10 minutes late, right? But then when they called us and we answered the phone with a high level of enthusiasm, over-the-top friendliness, genuinely happy and enthusiastic to talk to them, got all their information, set a time. The sales manager calls them on their way. Hey, I'm about 15 minutes out, just giving you a confirmation call. I'll be there short. Then he rolls up in a lettered truck, gets out in a collared shirt with his iPad, does a full inspection of the property, presents our price, which is only $500. And they're scared to even get the bid because they're thinking, oh gosh, this is going to be so. I just hope the listeners right now can understand what I'm saying, because you want that company. And it's not that hard to do, but it does start by having, you know, professional designs and a consistent theme throughout your business. But do you hear what I'm saying?
No, absolutely. And something I say frequently is that if you're not willing to invest in your company, then your clients aren't going to be willing to invest in your company either. When you roll up in that lettered vehicle and everything is just streamlined for your customer's experience, nothing in particular jumps out and says, like, it doesn't, you know, not one thing just like jumps out and really say, oh my goodness, you know, this is, I have to, you know, I'm so excited to use this company. It just feels like this is the company I should be working with. And, you know, when you roll up in a lettered vehicle, what a lot of people don't realize is that, you know, the difference between that and a rusty, you know, beat up vehicle, it's not just the appearance. It's that they feel like you've been established. They feel like you've invested in your company, and not all this is going to, you know, consciously come to their mind necessarily, but subconsciously they see that and they just feel like, you know what, this is a company that invests in themselves. They see the value in, you know, being on time, the value of cleanliness, and this is a cleaning company. So hopefully, you know, and so they just feel these different values that are portrayed. And that's where, you know, if that's you, then what I do is try to make sure that that comes, you know, front and center to your customer. If that's not you, then that's where I have seen companies where that's not them, and that's the type of companies that really shouldn't honestly even be in business. But if that's the type of, you know, person that you are, that you're valuing these, you know, you're starting with the values in your company and then trying to show your customers, that's what we help you do, is to show what it is that you value and value for your customers and put that in front of them, you know. So
yeah, definitely. I hope people are hearing us, because it's important. And the really funny part about this scenario this hypothetical that we're trying to lay down is the guy in the wife beater, nice guy, you know, loves his local football team, probably a good dad, you know, plays catch with his kids. But what he's missing is he's missing all this extra money, because he's not going to get that bid. So our company would be double. We'd still get the bid. But what does he do? He lowers his price because he keeps losing bids. And he's like, what the heck? I mean, gosh, I guess I have to lower my price. And the more you do that, the more you scare people, because we got, even think of it for ourselves. If we hire somebody or get bids for a service on our own home, right? Because we're consumers too of other people's stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, you're going to have a little bit of a weird feeling going with the wife beater guy that's half the price of the company that you know is high level. Like, mm-hmm. You know that you're taking a little risk there. And some people still will do it because they want to save the extra bucks. But you know that feeling? You know what I'm saying? It's like they almost are scared to hire the cheaper company at that point, because you've done such a good job positioning your brand in front of them.
Right. And I think that just to kind of come back to the point I made earlier, hopefully the idea is that that wife beater guy would have never showed up if we've done this all correctly, right? Because, you know, basically the only people that they would consider even calling have done okay up to X point, right? And I'm guessing the wife beater guy hasn't done enough to get the caller that we want, you know? And so I think the further that we can, you know, push that branding and that, you know, throughout the entire company, your website, you know, down to everything, like you said, you know, referral you know, all these different programs that you can put into place to help get in front of more people and get more brand awareness. You know, a lot of people forget that's called brand awareness, not, you know, you know, the more we do that, hopefully they're only calling people that are on par with the company that you have. And hopefully there's not that many in your marketplace that are on par with you, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I was just scribbling down some notes because, you know, I want to transition a little bit here into the Philippines and some of the other crazy stuff you do. I mean, the way that you market your company, you're on Periscope every night. Is it seven mm-hmm. days a week or is it 5 days a week?
It was six. We cut down to five. The weekends, a lot of people would think that Periscope's like popping on the weekends. It's not, you know, people, you don't want to be on there on a Saturday night and neither do your customers, you know, they have stuff to do too. So, yeah,
me about that. Tell me about, you know, social media, technology, how you're growing your business, just from an entrepreneur's perspective. I mean, we don't even have to direct this towards, you know, cleaning contractors, but yeah, you know, you're trying to hustle and grind to build a business. You invest in your own education. I know you've had like high level coaching programs with people. You've flown to the Philippines for a whole event. Tell us about that. Why did you do that? Why does it matter?
Well, again, if I'm not willing to invest in myself, you know, neither is my customers, right? So, I truly believe that, and I never preach something that I'm not practicing. So, you know, although we might not be, with graphic design, certain parts of our business with design, it's too close to me. I'll actually contract somebody to help me with it, even though we do that, because I understand that sometimes, you know, if I'm too close to it, I might not do it correctly, right? So I bring in somebody else that we trust to help us. So I definitely practice what I preach with, you know, investing wherever I see fit, that we should be doing that, because I know that every dollar I spend, I'll probably make, you know, $100,000 out of that $1 over the course of my lifetime. So I guess I'm, you know, I think of things as more of longer term. I don't need to go into an event and pay $5,000 or $10,000 and walk away with an idea that I can implement next week to make $20,000. For me, it's something where I'm just trying to kind of better myself wherever I can along the way. The Philippines trip, that was something that Chris Ducker puts on. It's called the Tropical Think Tank. And I was looking at that, and I was looking at one other one that I actually don't remember the name of that, but they do it also every year. Chris Ducker, I've followed closely over the past several years. He's very good at what he does. He doesn't have the largest following, but he really puts together a deep following, right? So he doesn't have as much width out there as some people do, but he has a lot of depth, and that's what really resonates with about him to me, because I feel like I'm the same way, and that's kind of what I'm always been trying to do. To some people, it might seem like I'm have more width or that's important to me, but I do think that you have to sort of cast your net and you know, kind of a little bit to bring in, you know, a certain catch, right? But I'm definitely more focused on depth than width, meaning, you know, substance more than, you know, quality over quantity with people, customers, and all that sort of thing. So, anyways, I went down there and, you know, I just figured the tickets and not to, you know, and all of us can really do this. You know, we're all business owners. We all have, you know, money. It's just what I choose to do in mine. So I'm not boasting about the price or anything. It was expensive. So the thing that I kept coming back to was that there's a 50 people going. So it's a small event. It's capped off at 50. It's a small event, but all of them paid that $5,000 to go there. That was the ticket price. And they were going to pay probably $5,000 more for, you know, the rest of, you know, putting this. So I'm thinking, you know, you got 50 people that are willing to spend $10,000 to better themselves all in one place. And I figured, how can I not go? You know, and I think that a lot of people, you know, Chris Ducker is an amazing guy, but the truth is a lot of people go there because of also who else is going to be there. And, you know, that's really what it came down to, is the price tag is part of the reason why I wanted to go, because it meant that the people there were willing to pay that price tag too, right? And they believed in what I believed in, you know?
Absolutely. And why is it that so many people struggle with this? I mean, honestly, I mean, it's hard enough to get people to go to an industry convention or to buy an ebook or something. People don't value their own personal education or networking enough. And I can't figure out why, because I'm like you, it's totally worth it. Howard Partridge is another guy I've become, you know, decent friends with. I talk to him occasionally. He's been interviewed on the show. He's spent hundreds of thousands of his personal dollars developing himself, networking with people. I mean, he knows John Maxwell personally. He knows Dave Ramsey. He knows, because he does stuff and puts himself out there. Why is a little guy, and if you can't see a correlation here, people, open your eyes, because people invest in themselves, their business kicks butt. People don't invest in themselves, their business is flat, they're stressed out, and they yell at their dog when they go home. So help me inspire someone listening to this on why this is critical.
I think there has to be a paradigm shift for a business owner to where they finally realize that they have the money to do that. Because many of us, and many of the people that I work with, started, and I did, started on a shoestring. I mean, my first place, well, I started my business when I was 17, right out of high school. I knew I wanted to be a business owner, didn't want to go to college. I graduated as a junior because I hated the school system so much, so I wanted out. Started my business right away. My parents moved to Jersey. I was still in Illinois. So, you know, I was pretty much on my own, and I wasn't, I'm sure I probably could have gotten some handouts and things like that, but that's just not me. So I'd scrapped by for a while. You know, I definitely started probably worse than a lot of people think of, you know, starting on a shoestring. I was able to get some donated patio furniture, which is what I slept on in my apartment. My apartment was like $800 a month, and it was pretty much the most, you know, there's not like I would drink tea because it was cheap for me to make. And, you know, at times I would eat bread and peanut butter because, you know, is what I figured would give something of substance to my diet. I don't know, but,
that's awesome. I love that. I love that.
So, I mean, but there's a shift at some point where that's not who I am anymore, right? And but some people are still spending their money like that's who they are, right? Like they're still scrapping by, and I can't spend this money here because I might need it or whatever. And so they still, you know, at that time I was in a very limited, you know, world, and my, you know, as far as my thinking and as far as my actions, and many of that was predicated by how much, you know, money I really was limited, like unless I went out and changed that. And over time I did change that, but then sometimes we get stuck in that same old mentality where we don't realize that we put in a lot of work to change our circumstances to make it so we aren't limited, yet we're still acting like we're limited. We're still spending our money like it's the last dollar we have. And so I think that for, you know, for many people, it just, there's has to be some moment where they shift, and maybe this is that, I hope. But there has to be a moment where you shift from wanting to underpay for things to where you want to overpay for things, because you want to work with people that you can see. Like, there's been tons of times I've spent money with people just so that I can have a conversation with them. Like, I want to overpay for things, and a lot of people don't understand that, and it's hard to explain, but it's because I like to leverage situations, and I understand that money allows me to do that sometimes, right? So, you know, being able to go down to the Philippines, you know, I did want to talk one-on-one with Chris Ducker, and I wanted to, you know, meet with him and meet with these other people, and, you know, some people may think that that's a waste of money, but to me, it was leveraging my money, because, you know, and I got a chance to do, you know, a Periscope thing with Chris Ducker. And would he have done it without that? I don't know. But I knew that I had made a purchase with him, so I had some leverage there. And many times I do that, you know. And is it wrong? I don't know.
It's not wrong. Are you kidding me? It's called being strategic. It's about investing in your dreams. It's about taking massive action. I mean, that's what this is about. You gotta do stuff. If you don't change anything you're doing, nothing is going to change in your checkbook, and nothing's going to change in your relationships. We got to put ourselves out there a little bit. Even with my boot camp that I saw, Ryan, the boot camp's $2,000, and it's expensive. Duh, I know that it is. It's worth more than that. But I did it that way on purpose because the people that are coming into it, they're like, they're serious and they're consuming the content and they're engaging. And I'm doing these one-on-one calls with them and we're changing their business. You know, I had a husband and wife break down crying a few weeks ago on one of the coaching calls I did because of the stuff we were talking about their business. But, you know, it's a different level of people that come in and I recognize that. And so I purposely made it expensive to get the right types of people in there. But even with our cleaning business or with your prolific prints or any of this, this is applicable to all of us, right?
Yeah. And, you know, just to touch on that shift thing, I think that, you know, I'm sure you've heard this, but, you know, have you ever heard a product being pitched like, you know, if you don't have enough money for this, then you definitely need it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Right? So it's kind of that like catch 22 where, you know, I don't have enough money for this coaching program or this book or whatever, but I need to do it because I don't have the money for it. Well, the thing is that at some point, that is actually true where we don't physically have the money and, you know, without getting a loan or you know, whatever, we can't put together the money to do something that we want to do, whether it even be at some point a $50 book. When I was, you know, really bad off, I mean, you know, in the beginning, I mean, I just was just trying to keep my phone, you know, on so that I could, you know, take calls from customers and, you know, try to get myself going there. And, but at some point, you know, we have to realize that we're now still telling ourselves that, well, this is, you know, this program I really should do, you know, and they're saying if I don't have the money for it, then I really need it. The difference is they're saying that because they know that some people hearing that actually have the money. And I think that that's where the shift becomes, where when you start to look at it like, and you start to realize that, okay, I do have the money to do this stuff now, you know, don't squander that opportunity. You didn't used to have the money. Now you do. You used to want to do that stuff and you couldn't. Now you want to do that stuff still, and now you can. So don't squander that opportunity that you've created for yourself by allowing yourself to have a little bit extra funds. Even if you're not laughing at the bank, that's not what it's about. It's about having enough to where you can say, okay, I'm going to, you know, not do this one thing that I was going to buy. You know, I love to have a motorcycle and I keep putting it off because I just don't need it. And I don't have anywhere that I specifically want to delegate that money to, but that's just the way that I think. It's kind of like, you know, putting off that pleasure because I know that there's something that I'm really going to be, you know, I should use it on more, you know. So, you know, put something off and say, you know, now that I do have this opportunity, I'm going to do it and I'm going to get this training course or I'm going to, you know, buy this book or whatever. Honestly, books are the cheapest things. I mean, people put their entire lives into books. If you're not reading and that sort of thing, I don't know what to tell you. Everybody has enough money to go to half price books and, you know, spend, you know, $50 or whatever.
You can go to the library. Go to the library. Yeah. But how many people listening to this will do it? Almost none. And at the end of the day, Ryan, this is just a hard truth, man. Maybe this sounds harsh, but at the end of the day, the people that are going to get it, the people that are hungry, they just know what we're talking about intrinsically. They know it. They're already searching, digging, networking, trying to find a way. They don't have the answers, but they'll go read a free book. They'll go buy a guy in their hometown who has a successful business lunch just so we can talk to him for an hour. We just know how to do that stuff somehow. It's like innate inside of us. And some other people, they don't see any value in it. And, you know, that's okay. It's a free country. But it's really hard. It's frustrating for me to see people struggle, see people complain, and just have the total wrong mindset and know that all of it could be changed with just one decision that if they were to make it. And they just don't, and it drives me nuts. Many of you know of my new project, thegrowthvault.com, right? But did you know that you can get instant free access to all of the trainings and webinars and all the documents and all the stuff just by sending a text message? Get your phone out and text GrowthVault to 44222 and you are in, my friend. Everything that I've used to grow my business is packed into one compact place for you to view at your leisure. I'm happy to provide it. Thank you for everybody that's joined. Again, text GROWTHFALL to 44222 and you're in.
Well, and you know, I think that my shift actually probably happened when I got the Grant Cardone sales training. And at the time, I spent about $2,500 on it, which allowed me access to the program for about 6 months. And he actually sells it now for $1,000, and it's for the year. So many people would think that I'm upset that I paid $2,500 for 6 months. I don't really care because I already made that. I actually made the money for that before I got my login access, because basically what I told myself is I used one of his lines to sell myself, and I said, I'm going to put it on a credit card and I'm going to let my customer pay for it. And so I did that. I sat down and I said, I'm going to make enough money by the, it was a Friday. And I said, I'm going to make enough money today to pay for this program. And I didn't quite make that goal. I didn't set the goal high enough. I set it for the amount, and I should have set it higher to actually hit that amount. And that's a different thing. But I did it. I did do that by Monday though. So I had paid for my, this program that was, many people would have said, oh my goodness, I don't have $2,500 for this or whatever. I just sat down and picked up the phone and started calling people and basically asking for money, right? Not a handout. I'm offering my services, right? I'm calling past customers. I'm calling, asking for referrals. I'm calling new people that I lapsed on following up with or whatever. And I put together the money. So I put it on a credit card on Friday, and I was able to pay it off by Monday with actual hard cash that I had, you know, set up, right?
That's amazing. That is an amazing story, Ryan. Honestly, I mean, I want to just pause so that that can sink in, because that type of mindset and that type of focus, you people like you with that mentality, you can't permanently fail. And success and failure, neither of them are ever permanent. But you can't. I don't see how it's possible with that type of mentality in the long run to not win. You just will win. People with that line of thinking win at life, at business, at relationships. It's just true.
Yeah, I mean, it's just reverse engineering what you want. You know, we talked about, you know, I met my girlfriend on Periscope, and most people are like, oh, so she was local or whatever. No, she wasn't. But she started working with us on the show, and I put together a game plan. I reverse engineered what had to happen in order for that to work. And that's really, I mean, I don't think there's anything new under the sun. There's always somebody who's done it, something you can look at, and it's all about reverse engineering. You know, okay, here's the goal I want to do, and where can I pull some information on how other people, you know, actually what things that they do that would break this down, take what works, try some stuff out and see what happens. I mean, but that shift, when I did that with the, you know, I think that was really what the thing that shifted me to spending, not being afraid to spend money on stuff. And so from there, I've always kind of looked at it like that. I don't know exactly why I did that. I don't know exactly what it was, but that's what I'm talking about with that shift. Like, people have to make a shift consciously that basically that they do have the money for this stuff, and that they can create the money for the stuff that they want to do. And at the end of the day, if it's not, you know, if you don't get everything out of it that you wanted, it's okay, because if you could get one thing out of it, then you're good, right? Then you can't complain about it. You got one thing out of it. It's, you know, if you can make your money back, or hopefully 10, 100 times that, then great. But if you didn't, it's all about, like, I could still sit there and tell that story about how I put together that money. And that's still that experience, like you were kind of alluding to, is still good in and of itself, right? So sometimes it's not the trophy at the end of the game. It's the actual what you learn during the game. And so I look at it a way where I don't ever want to waste experiences or money either, but I look at it a little differently, because I know that if I do, you know, lose money on something, you know, it's not the end of the world. It's money, and I still can take something away from that somewhere, somehow, you know?
It's not the trophy that you get at the end of the game. It's what you learn playing the game. That is an epic quote. I think that just kind of happened. You had a little magic moment there. Well, look, let's wrap this up. Give me a couple of just encouraging tips that a small business owner listening to this, who maybe, you know, they know that they want this and there's something there and they're inspired, but they're nervous and they're stressed out and they want to make a change. What can we do, you know, today, right now, after listening to this, to take a small step in that direction of changing our mentality, of moving faster towards our goals and being more responsible for our own education? What do you got?
There's certain investments that are never bad investments. When you look at long, you know, personal goals, you know, real estate, you know, is an investment that people say, you know, it's a hard asset, it's never going away or whatever. The thing is that your brand, your, you know, your company, your name, your logo, your website, technically these things could go away, but they're not going to go away before your company goes away. So certain things are going to be like, people will go out and spend, you know, tens, hundreds of thousands sometimes on equipment, right? Because that gets work done. That's awesome, right? But that stuff's eventually going to break down and go away. Your logo, your brand, your website, you know, these things aren't going anywhere unless you do. So you can never make a bad investment in these things. So I would say, you know, if you're wanting to take a step branding wise in the right direction, just figure out what you want to, you know, spend toward that and figure out what you can do for that. Don't try to squeeze something that's not there out of a budget either. If you have, you know, $50, that doesn't mean go to Fiverr and get 10 tasks done for $5. It means, you know, what do you really want to get done? And then look at what money you can maybe allocate towards it or whatever. But, you know, do whatever needs to be done first. And just, you know, if you want the new website, then start to look at that. I think that things like this are surprisingly cost efficient and inexpensive in the grand scheme of things when you actually start to look at it. I think a lot of people get scared by the unknown. They don't know what stuff is supposed to cost. They don't know that I'll put together an entire logo branding package for them for a couple $100, or that there's people who do a website for them that maybe it does cost $4,000 or $5,000, but they can pay monthly, you know, and because it's going to take a few months to get done. And so, you know, in the grand scheme of things, it's not that, you'll probably, by the time you're done paying for your website, you'll have already made the money back, right? So,
well, basically what I hear you saying is invest in things that are the fundamentals. Start today with what you have now and then just look at the reality of it, but do everything at a high level, because these are foundational principles for your business. Educating yourself as an executive, a CEO, understanding finance, understanding operations, reading a book on those things, that's a fundamental, foundational thing that you're going to have in place. So you do have enough money to go get a free book at the library and read. You do have enough money to get a better logo today. I mean, come on, take back the pop cans, or we call it pop in the North, soda cans, whatever. And whatever, beg, borrow, and steal, figure it out. Be responsible for your own life. Good grief, people. So, but like you said, start or execute.
Yeah, just start somewhere small. I think once you show yourself that, you know, once you do something, I think you come out of that experience and say, you know what, that wasn't really that bad. And I'm really excited now about what we've started. And so, you know, what can we do next? So I think just taking that first step kind of will get you on the right track. And hopefully, you know, the idea behind all these different things is as you take different steps with other people, you're going to meet other people and get other suggestions. And you might call me because, you know, you wanted a logo. And then I'm like, dude, you know, you should really look at your website too, because, and then I might point you in another direction, you know? So it's kind of about just getting on the right track. And I'm a big believer in just kind of going in the right direction. Sometimes I don't always know what I'm doing or where I'm going, but as long as it's kind of in the right direction, I know it'll work out. So,
hey, well, if anybody listening out there has a god-awful brand image, please call Ryan and get that taken care of. Ryan, how can people get in touch with you if they need to hire you or hire your company to do anything for them?
Yeah, so my website's prolificprints.com, and that's P-R-I-N-T-S. Some people think I'm a very arrogant and say I'm a prolific prince with a C-E, but
yeah, like prince, direct like mail print, like paper printed. Okay, prolificprints.com.
Yep. And we'd love to see what you got. And what I do is I love just helping people. So, you know, we've come into contact with people where they're not quite satisfied with something and they don't quite know what it is, but you know, we just need a few little tweaks and changes, and it doesn't cost a lot of money. And there's other people that are like, you know, let's start from scratch here and really put this together. So we try to point people in the right direction and not, you know, not take advantage of their lack of knowledge of what works just because we do have knowledge of what works. So You know, a lot of people are on the right track. They just need some help and need somebody to kind of take it off their plate so that they can continue doing what they're best at. And that's really what we want to do. So.
Absolutely. Well, I've enjoyed our conversation. I always enjoy talking to you. Thanks for sharing some wisdom and insight with us on this. I know people get a lot of value out of this. Guys, if you get value out of this podcast, then you have to pay to play. I need you to go to iTunes, leave me a review, share this on Twitter or Facebook, be a good little pal and help Josh out so we can grow the podcast. We're doing pretty good. We got about 3,000 people consistently listening to the show. And we want to get it to 10,000 by the end of the year. So I need your help, everybody listening. Please go to iTunes. Take the time. It takes 3-4 minutes. I appreciate it. I love you all. Ryan, thank you for hanging out with me.
Thanks, Joshua.
Hey, thanks for hanging out, friends. And from all of us here at the Quick Talk Podcast team, we hope you love today's show. We hope that you were inspired to become a doer and not just a listener. Apply what you've heard today in your own business and watch things change for the better. Lastly, remember that all the money in the world can't save your soul. Seek first the kingdom of God, my friends. We'll see you next time.
For more information about the Quick Talk Podcast or Joshua's other businesses, visit our website, quicktalkpodcast.com. Have a blessed day.